When I was at Bible College, there was another young man there, younger than me, I should say, called James as well, and a very, very clever, talented man. And he was a surgeon, one of the top surgeons in the whole country, and he'd given up surgery to come and train to be a vicar. Now, he got a lot of stick for it as well, because people said to him, look, God's given you this gift of surgery. Why are you giving it up? You're one of the most talented surgeons in the whole country. Well, I wonder, in fact, whether the answer lies in the fact that actually the ministry he had chosen was a growing need more than surgery itself. Proverbs 18:14 says this: the human spirit can endure times of illness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? In other words, physically, you can just about endure physical pain in a way that actually a crushed spirit, and I've had both, I've had extreme physical pain and I've had utter despair, and I've got no doubt that the despair was worse than the physical pain. You see, in this country, we've come leaps and bounds forward in terms of our medical research and our ability to care for sick, and our lifespan is growing and growing. And we're able to care even for those who were not able to care. We're able to give them a better quality of life even as they die. But anyone who has experienced a crushed spirit will know, and I suspect most of us know somebody who's gone through, if it's not ourselves, who's gone through depression, a broken heart, and a broken spirit, and a broken mind. These things can be far worse. And I've certainly experienced them myself in my own life. And I wonder actually whether James realized that the bigger calling in his life was not surgery, but a different kind of surgery. And I want to invite us today to do some surgery, either in our own lives or in the lives of others. And I don't want any old surgery. I want us to do brain surgery and heart surgery, because I think that's where the need is. And you'll be pleased to hear that I'm not talking about physical brain surgery, and not something that we have to do in our own strength, but in God's. You see, life brings brokenness to us. Job very negatively says, Job, who had this awful things, his life fell apart, said this: human life is a struggle, isn't it? It's a life sentence to hard labour. And if you knew his story, you'd know why he said that. But Ecclesiastes starts to acknowledge that, another one book in the Bible which talks about the reality and the difficulties of life. But it alludes to where we need to go when it alludes to what is missing. This is Ecclesiastes 4:1. Again, I looked and saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of oppression. They have no comforter. Power was on the side of the oppressors. They have no comforter. No comforter. And I wonder whether the answer actually lies in that word comforter. We need a comforter to our minds and a comforter to our broken hearts. And as we come to our series on paraclesis, to come alongside, which is translated in different ways, and the word paracleo that we've got today is translated in the Bible comfort. The come, which means with, and fort, which means strength. To come with strength. So to comfort, not in a fluffy kind of way, but in a real way, means to come with strength. Either God coming to strength with us, or us going with God's strength to others, to comfort. Isaiah promises this: provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. When our spirit is crushed and we have despair, God says that he can bring his joy. And joy is not some artificial thing. It's not dependent on circumstances. It can happen even in difficult times. It's a peace which God brings in our hearts. But where do we get that brain and heart surgery? Where do we come for that? Well, the woman that we had, if you recall, she'd had bleeding. But if you read in that passage, the despair is not just in her physical ailment, which probably could have been managed in some sense. But the outworking of this woman, who wouldn't have been allowed into temples, but rejected, probably wouldn't have been able to get married, and lost, it tells us the text, all her money, and she was in despair. But verse 28 and 27 and 28, you can read it on your sheet, says this. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. God is the place. Jesus is the place we can come for that healing. Now, don't get me wrong. I think the medical profession, of which I've been on the receiving end for both mental health and physical health, is amazing. But God can do something so deep in us. And what medically couldn't be done in me, God did a work in me over time which has revolutionized my life. Jeremiah 16:19 says this, Lord, my strength, my fortress, my refuge in time of distress. God is the place to go. In a time of distress, he is a fortress when everything else is collapsing and breaking around us. God can be a place of fortress he can go. And this is not some idle promise. I myself have experienced it. It didn't cure instantly my despair, but it gave me hope when I had none. It gave me strength when I had none. Isaiah 6:9 talks about the nature of God, and it talks about what is the result of all of it. And this is a reading you will know if you've ever been to a carol service. It says this in this prophecy about Jesus. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. God comes and be our counselor, our comforter to our hearts. And to our minds, our surgery to our hearts and to our minds, and brings truth where there are lies. But he is also a mighty God. Remember, comfort means strength. And God is that strength, that ultimate comfort, not a fluffy comfort, not inane words which don't have no meaning. They have a depth and a strength in our weakness. He also comes in the form of an everlasting father. Do you hear that? Everlasting. As humans, we let each other down. But God promises to be an everlasting, loving father to us, bringing us comfort that will not fail, which will not go away. And the result of all that, the Prince of Peace. He doesn't just bring peace. God is peace. And when he dwells in our hearts and in our minds, he does a surgery so deep. Again, it doesn't happen overnight. But anybody who spent any serious time with God will testify that he does a work in us. I've asked God many times for healing the physical sick. And I'll be honest that more times than not, God has not answered that prayer. Sometimes he's done it in dramatic ways. I've seen the blind healed as I've prayed for somebody. But mostly it's not happened. But when it comes to this surgery in our hearts and minds, most people who come to God and allow God into their lives have their lives transformed and healed. Their minds and their hearts over time with the wear of life gets restored. And you can once again watch the hopelessness gets restored to us. Brokenness gets mended. How do we receive this from God? Well, this woman that we read about, she said, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. She does two things in that statement. She thinks, if I can reach out to Jesus, if I can touch Jesus, if I can be in contact with Jesus, if I can encounter Jesus, I will be healed. And that I will be healed. Do you hear the faith in that?
Yeah.
I will be healed. She comes to Jesus with faith. And we too, just like you might go to a doctor, because they're the person who might bring physical healing. And you go, if I just go to the doctor, they might be able to sort that out. It's a similar thing, isn't it? I go to a doctor or the hospital because I have faith that I might be made well if I go there. We must do the same with Jesus. We must come with faith. Hebrews 4:16, I love this, is the Message version of it. Let us walk right up to Jesus and get what he's so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. Jesus is so ready to give us the help and the healing in our minds and our hearts. That peace, that restoration that life has broken in us. So, how do we do this in practice? How do we reach out and touch Jesus' cloak? How do we go to him? Well, first of all, let's read what the woman happened at that time. This is verse 33 from our story. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. You see, she had already been healed, but Jesus wanted more. He wanted the relationship. He wanted the personal encounter with her, and he wanted her to tell her story. And so she told him the whole truth. Remember what the truth was? She was poor, she was helpless, she was desperate, she'd been bleeding, she'd gone to lots of doctors, none of them could help her.
No.
That's not something you want to share publicly, is it?
No.
And yet she came to Jesus and was honest. And that's what we need to come to Jesus. We need to come and talk to Jesus. We simply call it prayer, talking to Jesus. But she comes to Jesus and she tells him the whole truth. And that's what we need to do. Not hide our brokenness, or maybe the brokenness of another. We're praying for another. Let's not make it fluffy words. Let's not make it tame it down. Let's bring God our true brokenness, where our minds have been broken and our hearts, and God wants to bring brain surgery and heart surgery and bring healing to our hearts and healing to our minds. Let's be honest to God about our situations and about others. Read the Psalms if you want a bit of inspiration. They were rude to God. They said, where are you? What on earth are you doing? They came to God with honesty. Do something, God. People are going to kill me if you don't do something. They were desperate and they were real. Come to God. Secondly, the Bible. We must come to God's word. God's word is a rock in a rough sea. A certainty in a world full of lies. Have you noticed that? How many lies there are around? And even people we love, probably not meaning, speak negative things into our lives. Because words are powerful and they're hard to be set free of. But God's word builds us up. It strengthens us. And it tells us. And one that I struggled with, I remember reading that I am the righteousness of Christ. It's not because I'm a good person, it's because God has made himself good in me. And I didn't believe it, but as I read it, I began to believe it in my mind. Okay, I'm not a bad person. I got it in my head that I was a bad person. I'm not a bad person. God has made me good. God has made me the righteousness of Christ. Listen to this. This is also in your sheet, but we didn't read it today. Romans 15:4. For everything that is written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement that they provide, we may have hope. You want hope? You'll find it in scriptures. You'll find every brokenness, sickness get healed, even the physical ones. In heaven, get healed and restored. Even death itself is conquered in scriptures. Even if we don't believe it, we have that hope in scripture because God brings it. that we may have hope, even in the face of death, we may have hope. So talk to God with honesty, go to God's word, and last of all, we too need to go. I think Di read this in her prayers, but how amazing. Romans 15. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up. And listen to this, verse 5, also in the sheet. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude and mind. Do you hear that? The same mind as Christ Jesus. A mended mind, a pure mind, a holy mind which God gives us. And one voice, that you may glorify God the Father in our Lord Jesus Christ. As God gives us comfort and strength in our minds and our hearts, so we go to others. How do we go? Well, we become God's comfort and we become his strength to others. And it may be at this time you need to be on the receiving end of this, or maybe you need to be on the giving end, but you need to be on one another. In our series that we're talking about at the moment, Paraclesis, coming alongside it. You don't have to go out looking for people. The homeless are there on the streets to find. The broken people are in our houses, or maybe us ourselves. You will find them. God simply asks us to come alongside them and not to cross over to the other side of the street. As the Good Samaritan story tells us, that two people, the so-called holy people, crossed over, but the Samaritan simply walked alongside. How do we do that? Well, I'm going to suggest one or two ways. First of all, I want to suggest we simply need to listen. And by listen, I want to say, don't provide the answer. Simply listen. And I'm quite good at knowing about listening, because it's something I'm really not very good at. So I try and mentally, where my cogs were in there. So when you're listening to somebody who's sharing something, do not have an answer. Just have a question. What are they saying? And when they're finished speaking, you can then ask another question. Tell me more about that. What do you mean by that? And that's listening, when we really want to hear what people say and not provide an answer. But sometimes the answer we do need to give, I mean, it may be that people want an answer, and I'm not saying you avoid, if they ask you a question, what the answer is. But sometimes we need to be a different kind of answer, and it's a practical answer. It's no good telling a cold person, not just listening to a cold person, you need to give them a coat. Somebody who's hungry, you need to give them food. And sometimes people who just are so desperate or broken or physically can't do them, you need to do their hoovering. But sometimes there's a practical help. And sometimes we need to read between the lines, because we're not always good at asking for help, are we? Sometimes we need to be practical help. My fourth one is in some ways a slightly controversial one, but I think we live in a touch-phobic society, because there's been so much inappropriate touch in our world that we've forgotten that actually appropriate touch is a wonderful and a good thing. A hand on the shoulder, reassuring. Sometimes a hug. Of course we don't want inappropriate touch, but let's not lose appropriate touch because of all the inappropriate touch that's around. Particularly for some of us who have brought up in homes that weren't no physical touch. Or maybe we've lived a life and we've been widowed or whatever, and we've forgotten what it's like just to have a bit of physical touch. Sometimes we need to be that kind of comfort, a comfort of touch. We need to be a comfort in listening. We need to comfort people with practical help. We need to be a comfort with touch. And just last of all, I do want to say there are seasons when every single one of us will need to be on the receiving end of comfort. And every single one of us should at some point be on the giving end of comfort. I don't know what season you're in at the moment. And it's okay if you're in the season of receiving. You just need to go, I've got nothing to give. And let me tell you, that's okay. We're a church family for a reason. that we're going to need each other. I'm really bad at asking for help, as some of you well know, and I have to work very hard for ask for prayer or ask for help. But sometimes we need, what's your season at the moment? And what's the result of all of this? This comes back to where I started in some ways. And we see it in this woman, what happens to her. Jesus says this to her when he's done his brain surgery and his heart surgery, and she's going into a different place. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering. Now, Jesus did that very instantly. Do you see how she received peace and freedom from suffering? We too, when we come to Jesus, can receive that peace and that freedom from suffering. For me, it's a work still in progress. But you, I don't think anyone here has any idea how far I have come from where I was because of what God did in me. If you give God your time, your heart, your mind, he will bring healing, and he will bring peace, and he will bring comfort. And anybody, I don't know why he doesn't heal some people physically, but this is a prayer that I don't think I know anyone who hasn't received healing, who's come and spent real time with God with this one. We're going to watch a video now of a song, and it is called It Is Well With My Soul. Use this time with God. You can close your eyes, you can do a prayer, you can ask God for his comfort, you can pray for somebody else, or you can just watch the words, whatever you want to do.